This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That was the voice of Big Deuce, Jason Tatum, following the Celtics' 111-101 defeat of the Los Angeles Lakers at the Garden on Saturday night. Fitzy, did that that game live up to the hype and the expectations?
Not really.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, it was not the most thrilling game. I personally enjoyed watching Wednesday night's game when White and Pritchard went for 84 than I did the Saturday Night Lakers affair. And I have to think that anybody that got in the building, whether it was original face or someone crazy enough to pay 20 grand for a ticket, probably felt the same. Though I'm sure the energy was insanely off the charts to start the game. By the end, it was sort of like, oh, one of these teams is markedly better than the other one, and that's the Celtics.
Absolutely, and it ended up being close. The Celtics pulled away in the third quarter. The Lakers only scored 13 points in the third quarter, and then scored 34 in the fourth to outscore the Celtics by 10 in the final period. But LeBron James left with a groin injury. Luka Doncic got kicked in the face by Al Horford while he was celebrating a dunk and hanging on the rim. My guy, Jaylen Brown, had another nice game to tag team with Jason Tatum. Have you noticed of late it happens in these big games that those two are becoming sort of what they're supposed to be? Like you can pencil them in for the 30-30 against the Cavs, the 30-30 against the Lakers. I will be penciling them in and maybe betting them in for the 30-30 potentially against OKC on Wednesday night, which, by the way, WEEI Afternoons will be down by the Garden at Scores leading into that big game, latest huge game for the Celtics. So come on down, say hello to Fitzy, myself, Ted Johnson, do a little pre-gaming for the big game. And but no, I agree with you. This, like, for example, the Cavs game, I thought was a much more enjoyable game wire to wire, even though the Celtics ended up losing. Whereas this game started out that way. It was a Larry Bird 33 all after the first quarter. And I was like, oh, are we in line for another one of these? And then it just kind of, the game kind of petered out. The Celtics are the better team, as you said.
Yeah, the game totally did peter out. By the fourth quarter, it felt like, it kind of felt like, all right, there's going to be some sort of Lakers run that's going to cut it to a margin that it's that the game doesn't represent how lopsided the game has really been or how one-sided it's been. And yeah, what did they get it down to? 7 with like 3 minutes to go, but then Tatum got the big kick out 3 and that put it back into double digits and it was over at that point. But yeah, like Luka didn't look as dynamic as he had in the weeks leading up to it. LeBron, like with some sort of groin injury, and like I said, the flopstrionics and the completely like European soccer style drama and acting all over the court as well. Like the Lakers definitely sort of, I don't know, watching them, did you think like this is the team that's won like 8 or 9 in a row and has been bottle rocketing to the top of the Western Conference?
No.
I agree with Jason Tatum. The NBA is a much better place when the Lakers and the Celtics have rivalry and are both good teams. Lakers are good, but they're not great by any stretch.
No, but they're the second best in the West, or they were. Actually, I haven't checked the standings lately.
Say Denver takes them out in six.
I'm fine with that. There's a bunch of teams I can talk myself in you know, high-class problem, wanting to play in the finals if I'm the Boston Celtics. From a fan's perspective, I think the Lakers are fun. OKC is fun. Denver is fun. Golden State would be fun. There's four teams right there that I can talk myself into really enjoying those NBA finals. One thing that was interesting to me is this was a, from a Celtics perspective, you know, they have the injuries a little bit. The Porzingis thing, I still don't get. Can anybody explain to me what the hell's going on with Porzingis, a non-COVID illness?
Can someone explain to me what's going on with Willier Abreu? I mean, crossing sports, pardon me, but like, you got a non-COVID illness that's taken out Porzingis. At least it's not like some sort of sheath on a ligament or a tendon or something, so no surgery is going to be required. But like, back to Red Sox, Willier Abreu, they say some sort of like gastro illness is going to keep him out past opening day because of all the weight he's lost. Like,
did Greg give him the norovirus?
But that's like a week tops. Like, you're sick for like 3 days, and then you just got to put all the weight you lost, rehydrate, and put all the weight you lost back on.
It's also gone through the rest of Red Sox camp. Roman Anthony lost 10 pounds, I think, from dealing with it. And Casas was described as MIA by his roommate. Nobody knew where he was. He was just very sick.
10 pounds? Jeez.
Yeah. Funny thing is, they got a long season to go. I want Porzingis to start rounding into form here as we approach the postseason.
That dude is unlucky, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
As much as he's injury prone, I think he's also just a bit unlucky.
Because this is not ideal, but Fitzy's right. It's better than if it was, he's got tendonitis in his knee or he's got
the normal stuff.
Some whatever. But it's also not ideal that they continue. Because I remember thinking, just like one of those NBA injury report eye rolls. Oh, non-COVID. Like, you see these things all the time in the NBA. And now he's been out for, what are we on, 2 weeks here? Feels like forever that he hasn't played.
Five straight and 6 of 7 was the number from our guy Turp.
And they've won most of those games, so in a lot of ways, Andy, like, okay, good. I mean, not that I want to see him come back, somebody who's as thin as he is come back, you know, looking gaunt or emaciated, but I guess if there's going to have to be a time. Look, they're winning games without him, so if anything, he's not putting pressure on, not the feet, the knees, the ligaments, like, rest him up, get him better, like rehydrate him, put him in the lab for a little while longer and get him ready for the games that really count starting in about, God, now that it's sunlight till after 7 o'clock, like basketball playoffs really must only be like a month away.
The weather is great. I am in love with that I don't have to be depressed every time I drive home because it's been dark for like 4 hours. Drew Holiday, speaking of ligaments and tendons, Drew Holiday was back on the court. The old, what's it called? Hammer?
Mallet finger.
Mallet finger. I was going to call it the hammer finger, and I was like, that doesn't sound right. That sounds more dirty than what we've made the mallet finger sound like. So he has seemed no worse for the wear. I mean, he didn't have a big game, but he was out there. I didn't see him. You know how anytime anyone returns from something, they like, especially in this day and age, the camera will catch a close-up of, oh, my God, is Drew Holiday bending his finger? Is he moving his hand funny? The Joe Burrow, he can't even pick up a Gatorade bottle. How's he supposed to throw the football? And then he goes out and throws for a gazillion yards and has a great year. I didn't notice any Drew Holiday worse for the wear, so to speak.
No, it wasn't like, oh, man. It's like when somebody's playing with some sort of, like, a bad ankle or a knee or something. Like, oh, man, just get him out of there. He's no good. He's a risk to himself and the team right now. He's only setting himself and the squad back. Like, there was nothing about his game Saturday night that said he's a hindrance to the team's efforts to win that game or going forward. So it was good to see him. I mean, he's running just fine. I mean, I couldn't see anything different about his shooting motion or like any technique deployed by him otherwise, but good to get him back out there. You know, one of the things you have to sort of consider is when these guys miss, look, they're world-class athletes and they're paid to take good care of their bodies. But when they start missing like 6, 8, 10 games, guys, the conditioning kind of goes down there a little bit. So if anything, just getting some run for Drew Holiday is probably great right now. He's another one of these guys, considering his age, Andy, and how many miles he put on the vehicle last year with a playoff run and the Olympics, where load management has been a priority. So, again, it looks like the positive returns for him going forward.
And Big Al, beyond kicking Luka on his dunk, I thought had a great game on the defensive end of the floor, where it seemed like the Lakers kept trying to isolate him. And then there was a few times LeBron's one-on-one with him. I'm like, oh, boy, this isn't going to go well for Al. He's going to break his ankles. He's going to look like an old man. And he really didn't. He looked really competitive out there. He looked more competitive than Luka did at times as the Celtics tried to go after Luka and his defensive inefficiencies or whatever you want to call it at times. But I thought this was an Al Horford game where it reminds you that in the postseason, he's not necessarily an aging liability. Sometimes he's just a good player on a great team.
He's a different animal. Wow, Luka had 34 in that game. That's like that feels like the quietest 34 in the history of Luka Doncic.
Yeah, and those of us that may have bet plus 20 points for LeBron, Luka, Tatum, and Brown, cha-ching, just like the NFL, baby, cashin', baby.
All right, nicely done.
And that was before LeBron got hurt, thank God.
They snuck that in there, under the wire. But like,
yes, Dan Ball.
Andy, 18. You're a LeBron hate guy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you believe that the groin injury was legit? Or was it just an I'm done playing injury?
Oh, no, I think it was legit.
You do?
I don't think, yeah, no. I didn't get that. Is that a thing?
I saw it floating around on social media, yes.
Oh, he was just getting out of the game. If the Lakers were within 4 points, he would have played that game out.
Well, but that's not necessarily the same thing either. Like, you can have a tweak, and if it's a critical part of the game, maybe play through it because you're trying to steal a win, whereas
51, everything is tweaked.
Right. Well, he's 40, everything is tweaked, even though it doesn't look it. Like, his physique, I'm sorry. Can we just be honest? Like, we're not going to say anything, but look at his physique.
He spends $1 million a year on his body, right?
I bet you he spends more than that.
Yeah.
That's the on-the-book stuff. I want to see the second book.
Yeah, like Derrick Henry.
You know how in Shawshank there's a second book? I want to see LeBron's second book where he tells you how much he spends on his body. That's the book I want to see.
Wait, listen, hey, a little TB12 can go a long way, guy. You never know.
Yeah. Shadiness everywhere. Shadiness. Well,
hey, listen, he's not going to come out like Mo Vaughn and say that he did some things that he wasn't proud of. There's no Mitchell.
Not now. He's not
in basketball.
Maybe in 20 years, like Mo Vaughn, he will.
You think some shipments meant for Ashley Manning are ending up at LeBron's house?
In my opinion, do I think that? Yes, 100%, 100%. 502 bad gateway. I've always questioned LeBron. I'm sorry. I question a lot of the NBA guys. Because what my biggest question is? Who was the last NBA guy to test positive for steroids, performance-enhancing drugs?
I have no idea.
You know what that tells me? They don't want to catch anybody.
And I don't think they care.
They don't. And I'm fine with that. I'm with Canseco. I'd love to go back to 1998 and just see bombs galore. That was as exciting as baseball's ever been. But if you're going to pretend you care about these things, at least catch somebody every once in a while. It's like everybody drives 85, but every once in a while they pull somebody over
on
the highway.
Someone gets pulled over. Oh, right. I was just trying to keep up with the flow of traffic. Yeah, well, the flow of traffic is supposed to be going 65, not 85. What about everybody else?
That's just to send a message. Now everybody knows at least somebody got pulled over at one point for doing one speed. No one in the NBA gets caught. Yes, Diz.
I believe just over a year ago, NBA suspends Tristan Thompson after he tests positive for performance enhancers.
Tristan 25 Thompson?
Game suspension.
Wow. He was trying to get the youth back, huh? That didn't work. Okay, so there's one. I usually say name three on those, so somebody like you can't be a wise ass and just come up with one name and prove me wrong immediately.
Here's an overall basketball question I have for you before we possibly transition into anything else. Do you know how many games are left on the Celtics schedule?
18.
18, correct. 18 games.
I guessed.
After Wednesday's
game? The quiz was Diz all over again.
We should revisit that.
Oh, let's not.
I know Rich Keefe has like a clamp on Week in Review, but that was one hell of a performance by me.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stiz, you were saying? I mean, Fitzy, you were saying?
I was just going to let that one sit out there for a little while.
I'll be honest, I would have accused myself of cheating.
Yes, are you taking performance-enhancing drugs?
No, but when I nailed Rob Ninkovich's 225 at the Combine...
That was as lucky. Andy, that was 27 feet out with a blindfold on at the carnival to win a giant stuffy to impress your new girlfriend.
Except I would even question, can he see through the blindfold?
Right. Was it A, Atlanta?
B,
B, Indy. C, Tampa.
Well, Indy, not a state.
I just want to remind you.
I still don't know who's dumber. You for saying states or me for skipping to the B option that was a city and skipping right over the A option that was also a city.
All three of them.
They were all cities, and I go, Indy's not a state. No kidding, dumbass.
At least it sort of sounds like it is, like Atlanta's the capital of Georgia. It's big enough to be a state, bigger than a greater population than a lot of states. My basketball-related question was, do you really care about any more games, or can we just fast forward to the basketball playoffs now? Like, this is the problem. This is when an 82-game slate, like, starts to slog out a little bit.
Well, after the OKC Celtics game, then we could fast forward, because I think that's one more game. We talked about this four-game stretch here, right? Mm-hmm. It was Cleveland. It was the Lakers. It was Denver.
The Nugs and OKC, yeah.
And they are now 2-1. In the three games they've played, there's one more game to go. I would like to see them go 3-1, but I think this is a good measuring stick as they build up. And don't tell me Jason Tatum isn't building toward the postseason. He has been building for a little while now. I think Jaylen Brown, I don't know if that knee feels better that he's been complaining about, but it feels like they are elevating their leadership or their sort of hold on the Celtics. And the game in general the other night, do you know they only had three people play on the bench? They only got 9 bench points. Like, that was a playoff-caliber game. Their starters all played 30. Drew Holiday was their lowest starter with 35 minutes. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both played over 40. That had
They wanted that game.
Yeah, that was a little playoff feel to it. I think there was some – Jason Tatum played the first – a ton of minutes. I think the whole first quarter and then into the second before he took a break. So that had a playoff feel. They are building towards the playoff, but you're right, Fitzy. After Wednesday night, when everybody's going to come down to scores and see us, then you kind of just have filler games to get to, because they're not even chasing the one seed. They're not going to get the one seed. They're going to stay in the two spot, hopefully.
Just protect the two spot at all costs. Just stay where you are.
Assuming nothing bad happens, they are 5.5 games up on the Knicks, so it would have to be pretty bad to lose 5.5 games over the final 18 games of the regular season. So, yeah, we're kind of playing meaningless basketball for now, not everybody. Obviously, those teams down at the bottom of the standings and play-in games and seedings and things of that nature. But from the perspective of OKC, Celtics, Cleveland, those are all teams that are probably like, yeah. What was that movie with Adam Sandler with the remote control? You could fast forward.
Click.
Classic.
If they could click, they would click forward into the postseason.
Did you just call Click a classic?
Yeah. Oh my god. I'm trying to think.
I was reading an AFI list the other day of the top 100 movies, and right after It's a Wonderful Life, it was Click.
Who plays God in that movie?
Probably Morgan Freeman.
Is it? I don't remember.
I think Christopher Walken's in it and has a great scene.
I remembered the movie, and I remember kind of liking the movie.
I could be wrong.
Not sure I ever would have said classic when somebody brought up Click. I don't think that would be my first reaction to the movie.
Nope. Christopher Walken was your god.
Yeah, that's right.
In that movie. But we all know that there isn't one.
Oh, wow.
He's been doing this at least once a week now.
I thought we'd try to avoid politics and religion on this show. We throw little snarky lines out there, but that's going to piss people off. Now everybody's angry.
It's just a dead inside comment. It's a throwaway comment. I mean, if the Patriots, after Super Bowl 42, you want to tell me that there's a higher power?
You want to know what else pissed people off? We did a whole show on it on Friday, the trade of Brad Marchand to the Florida Panthers, anywhere but Florida. Well, Brad Marchand is boots on the ground in Florida. He spoke to the media today at Panthers practice. We're going to have Brad Marchand's first comments in a Panthers uniform. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
It's razor thin.